KALW.
From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents, context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
I live in Oakland in the Temescal neighborhood.
Jack London Square.
Fruitvale.
It's been 10 years since a young man named Oscar Grant was shot and killed by a BART officer at Oakland's Fruitvale Station.
I'm going to continue to fight, and my family will fight till we can't fight anymore.
Today we'll hear from Grant's mother, as well as his father, who's been incarcerated since before his son was born. He gave KALW his first audio interview.
Anytime another little youngster gets killed, that's Oscar Grant. All over again.
And 10 years after the shooting, what's changed and what hasn't at the BART Police Department?
When you look at the actual numbers for when officers use force, two-thirds of the time it's against black people.
A look back at the decade since the Oscar Grant shooting. Cross Currents is coming up. On today's show, we're marking the death of Oscar Grant. This month is the 10th anniversary since the 22-year-old was shot and killed at Fruitvale Station by a BART officer on New Year's Day 2009. Every New Year's Day since, his family has held a vigil in his honor. KALW's Priya Mahadevan went to this year's memorial, and she brought back this report.
It's a sunny but chilly New Year's Day, and a couple hundred people are gathered outside the Fruitvale BART station. The crowd is eclectic. An older woman parks her blue lawn chair right in front of the main stage. Young parents cart their chatty toddlers and strollers, and a few people burn incense sticks while silently weaving through the crowd.
We are all still Oscar Grant. We are all still Oscar Grant.
Everyone's come here to honor the 10th anniversary of Oscar Grant's death. Grant was killed on this day in 2009 by BART police officer Johannes Messerly. You might expect a vigil to be pretty somber, but the general feeling here is positive. Friends and family greet each other with wide smiles and big hugs. 10 years later, this is a space for gratitude, resilience, and hope.
I'm so overjoyed and grateful that all of you took the time to come out today.
Oscar Grant's mother, Wanda Johnson, steps onto a platform and takes the mic. She says her son's death was a catalyst for change in America. The officer who killed Grant was sentenced to jail time, which is rare for police shootings. And in the decades since Grant's death, the Black Lives Matter movement popularized the use of cell phone cameras to record police violence. Johnson says her family will keep fighting for equal opportunity and police accountability.
We can change this nation, and I believe that it's going to happen. I believe, just like Dr. King believed that it was going to happen. He may not have saw it, but it has happened. I may not see it, but I'm going to continue to fight, and my family will fight till we can't fight anymore.
Throughout the afternoon, all kinds of speakers take the stage. Pastors, dancers, poets, singers, and family members. One of them is Tatiana Grant, Oscar's 14-year-old daughter. She was 4 when her father died. She doesn't say much, but today's the first time she's ever spoken publicly.
I'm Tatiana Grant. Thank you all for coming. This really means a lot to me.
And then there's Cephas X. Johnson, Oscar Grant's uncle, who's known in the community as Uncle Bobby. He wears a black button-down shirt with his nephew's face on the back. And he chokes back tears as his sister Wanda and his niece Tatiana comfort him.
You gotta excuse me, because this is reopening that wound, so it's gonna get a little tougher.
Take your time.
Even 10 years later, the pain of Grant's early death still stings. Yet his family has persisted, standing together in moments of pain and pride. And the community stands with them. For most of the afternoon, the crowd is vocal, cheering on the speakers and performers. But there's one point where they're moved to silence. It happens when Uncle Bobby's wife, Beatrice X. Johnson, takes the stage. She's wearing all bright yellow, down to her beanie and shimmery gold boots. She steps up to the mic to sing one of Grant's mother's favorite gospel songs. Her voice carries across Fruitvale Station, and the air turns still.
I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free.
This year, the family expects BART to finish a mural honoring Oscar Grant that's planned for Fruitvale Station. They're also pushing BART to rename the station to Fruitvale/Grant Station. BART recently rejected that proposal. But this family will keep fighting to make it happen. In Oakland, I'm Priya Mahadevan for Cross Currents.
Priya is a fellow in KALW's Audio Academy Radio Training Program. Find more coverage of the Oscar Grant shooting on KALW.org.
Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart feel lonely and long for heaven?
You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Ben Trefney, in for Hana Baba. 10 years ago, a BART police officer shot and killed a young man named Oscar Grant III. His father, Oscar Grant Jr., has been incarcerated since before his son was born. The elder Grant is now held at Solano State Prison, where imprisoned men produce the KALW series, Uncuffed.
This is Uncuffed.
Stories from Solano State Prison.
Julian Glenn Paget, who's also incarcerated at Solano, interviewed Oscar Grant Jr. on the eve of the 10th anniversary of his son's death. This is the first time his voice has been heard in the media.
I was at work, because I go to work at 3:45 in the morning. I'm an AM cook. Sergeant Clark pulled me in the room. Got the phone and he said, "Do you know Anjanetta Grant?" I said, "Yes, that's my sister." And I say, "What's up? What's going on?" He said, "Well, you need to call her. It's important." The phone rung. She picked up on the second ring. But my sister was screaming and hollering and crying. And I said, "Anjanetta, what's going on?" She said, "Junior, they killed your son." I immediately dropped the phone, walked out the office, went back to the building. Now I want to talk to my family.
Okay.
Because I want to know what really happened to my son. Because at this time, I don't really know nothing except he's dead. So in the process of me on the phone talking, my cellie cuts on the TV. He say, "Oscar, look, man, look." I'm like, "Huh?" He say, "Look, look on the TV." And when I look up, all I see is a whole bunch of gentlemen on the platform, on their knees. And then I see my son, and they showing the clip at the bar station. And I just hear something go, "Pah!" And I drop the phone and look at the TV. I'm staring at it. And right. I'm like, "Whoa, this fool shot my son. Why?"
When was the last time that you saw your son?
My ex-wife brought my son up. It was either 04 or 05. And I seen him, and I had a talk with him. And I told him, "Look, Junior, I don't need you going down the same road I went down. I said, I don't want you in jail. I don't want you in prison. I want you to be out there to where you can help your moms and your sister until I'm out of here." I say, "As you know, now you're the man of the house."
So how did he take that moment coming from you?
He was proud of that. He's like, "Dad, so I'm the man of the house?" I say, "Yeah." I say, but you can't tell your mom what to do. Because I know you're going to try.
Right.
He say, "But so I can stop people from coming in the house?" I say, "Junior, you have to make sure that your mom and your sister is secure." I say, "But I don't want you doing nothing wrong either." And he said, "Dad, I'm not." He said, "I promise you, Dad, I'm gonna stay out of trouble."
How did you do it? All these years in prison, what prompted you to keep that connection with your son?
I love my son to death. I cared about my son, and I respected my son. And I wanted him to know that his dad, even though I am in prison, "Hey, your dad got you." Because my son visited me from the time he was a baby all the way up, and this is from 1986, all the way up to 2005.
So you had a strong bond with him. You knew your son.
Yes.
He'd come up here and visit, and you play with him, hug him, and talk to him and everything.
Yes, I did.
So did anybody come up, did any other stations come up to you and try to talk to you to get your side of the story, how you felt, what you were going through, you know?
No, no one, when that happened, no one came up here to try to talk to me, or say anything to me about anything.
Why? I mean, so why is that? Why do you think that is?
Well, me personally, I believe that they don't believe I existed because no one ever talked to me about my son.
How do you feel about that? How were you feeling about that when that was going on? And how do you feel about it now?
I feel very hurt. I felt very disrespected. Because if that was their kid, they would want to be talked to or at least asked. How do you feel about what happened to your kid? At least find out how I'm feeling, what I'm going through. No one ever did that until right now. They made a movie.
Right.
I was never talked to about that. He called me after the movie was made.
Okay.
Because he said that's when he found out that my son, Dad, was in prison.
How does it feel to watch your son become a symbol after his death?
Me personally, I don't like it. I lay down and I wake up, cut on the news. I say, oh, whoa. Man, I can't even put my son to rest because when I seen the Trayvon Martin, it made me think about my son again. It reenacted that all over again. That whole play all the way over again.
It hasn't just been Trayvon Martin. It's been, and you know this.
It's been
several.
Several more. But in the process of all these murders,
mm-hmm.
they showed him,
mm-hmm.
and they showed my son again. So every time another kid get killed, it brings Oscar Grant up.
What does that bring up for you?
That brings up memories.
And you just want to...
And that brings up pain.
So basically, he's murdered again and again and again.
Yes. Over and over and over. Anytime another little youngster get killed and they bring up my son...
That's Oscar Grant.
That's Oscar Grant. All over again.
How do you deal with all that, man? I mean, being locked up and first being away from your son, the decisions that you've made, and then watching that tragedy happen, how do you deal with that, man?
It was hard at first. It hurts, and I got a lot of people around me say, hey, man, we got you. If you want to vent, we got you. They knew my son because they used to be in the visitor room with their wife and their kids. Those guys used to talk to me, bro, we don't want you to go crazy, man. We don't lose control, Oz, you got this.
So the community in prison basically...
The community in prison was just like the community on the streets.
Right.
We all came together, and they all, you know, gave me a hug and talked to me.
Have you ever come to terms with any of this? How do you grieve? Have you grieved?
I haven't grieved yet. And I won't be able to grieve until I'm out of here and go sit at my son's burial.
What do you want to say to Oscar, your son?
I want to let my son know. Junior, no matter what, your dad will always be there. I love you, respect you, and care. I'm going to always have you right in my heart, wherever I'm at, wherever I go. I love my son dearly.
That was Oscar Grant Jr. speaking with Julian Glenn Padgett. Both men are incarcerated at Solano State Prison. KALW's work at the prison is supported by the California Arts Council and the Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation. All content is approved by an information officer. Listen to more stories from Uncuffed at our website, kalw.org/uncuffed. You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Ben Trefney, in for Hanna Baba. Today, we're marking the 10th anniversary of the death of Oscar Grant. The 22-year-old was killed by a BART police officer 10 years ago this month. His death led to calls for reform of BART's police department. And 10 years later, we want to know, has that reform happened? And did it work? Here to answer those questions is KALW's transportation reporter, Eli Wirtschafter. Hi, Eli.
Hey, Ben.
So let's go back to that night. Tell us, Eli, what happened when Oscar Grant was killed.
Yes, so it was New Year's Eve 2009. A lot of people were taking BART home to Oakland after partying in the city. And after midnight, so technically in the early hours of New Year's Day, BART police hear that there's a fight on a train. Court records say that one of the guys in this fight was Oscar Grant, a young black man. He's 22 years old. Police stop the cars at Fruitvale Station in East Oakland, and they start to round up the guys who they think could have been involved in that disturbance, including Grant. It's chaotic, people are shouting, and a number of passengers take out their cell phones to record video of what's happening. And that's how we know what happened.
Yeah, I remember some of those videos. Go ahead and tell us what was in some of them.
Well, you see BART police corralling a couple of these young men against a wall at the edge of the platform at Fruitvale Station. There's a struggle between the police and the men who are being arrested. And in the videos, you see two officers pushing Oscar Grant face down onto the platform. Now, one of those officers, Johannes Messerly, who's white, pulls out a gun and he shoots Oscar Grant in the back. Messerly's defense later was that he meant to reach for his taser, not his gun. Messerly also said he thought Grant could be reaching for a gun, although Grant was not armed. So Grant died from his injuries later that day. And it led to protests and even rioting in Oakland.
So according to activists, what is it that went wrong that led to this death?
It's a lot of things. You have police escalating the violence in a situation where they definitely did not have to use deadly force. In a later investigation, it showed that the various officers were uncoordinated. They really didn't have a clear idea of who was in charge and what each of them was supposed to do. There's also the idea that Messerly could have been racially biased. Studies have shown that officers are more likely to see black men as violent or dangerous. And then you have this issue of training, that if Messerly really meant to reach for his taser, he should have been trained better to know where his taser was and what it felt like compared to a gun, which is much heavier. Plus, some activists have said BART officers shouldn't even have guns in the first place. You know, I think some people were surprised to find out BART even had an armed police force, but they do, and it operates independently from other local police departments.
So with all the scrutiny that's happened over all these years, and there's been movies, and it's been quite a lot, how did BART respond overall?
I think BART's reaction was mixed. On the one hand, they stood up for their officer, Johannes Messerly. In court, BART said that the officers were acting in self-defense, that Grant had attacked the officers. But BART directors also called for investigation into what went wrong that night, as well as a larger audit into the BART police force more generally.
What do those investigations show?
They showed that BART police were kind of a mess. Parts of their policy manual hadn't been updated since the 70s. There were basically all these places where the department was not being transparent and where there was very little accountability. So the reports found that, for instance, the police had poor practices for reporting when an officer had used force, and after a use of force incident, investigating what had happened. So after that audit, you know, the audit made a bunch of recommendations. It called for BART to look at whether officers were being racially biased, to actually measure how many times BART officers were using force against people of different races and ages. And then another part of this audit, probably the biggest change it called for, said BART needed a way for the public to have oversight over the police. The idea was to have a committee made up of regular citizens who could hold the police accountable.
All right, well, these sound like good ideas. Did BART follow through with the recommendations?
Yeah, they actually did. There was a follow-up audit in 2013, And it showed that BART police had really overhauled their policies. They were doing more racial bias training, and the Citizen Review Board was in place. And now that review board takes complaints against BART police, and it can suggest discipline against BART officers, although in the end, the decision is still up to BART's general manager whether to fire someone.
So they did make some changes, but in the end, the real question here is, did the reforms make a difference, do you think?
Right. That's a little hard to say. There's more oversight of BART police now, but when you look at the actual numbers for when officers use force, 2/3 of the time, it's against Black people. That's in a system where just 12% of riders are Black. Here's another stat. BART has the ability to ban people from the system. Again, 2/3 of the people banned are Black.
Mm. And so were these numbers any different 10 years ago? Do we know if they were different 10 years ago?
No, that's the thing. They weren't even collecting that kind of data before those audits came through.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, finally, in terms of if your bottom line question is, are fewer people being killed by BART police? You know, for all the attention that those incidents get, they are very rare. There have only been a few in BART's history that I can find. But then, just a year ago, also in January, another young Black man was shot and killed by BART police. It was near the West Oakland station. His name was Shaleem Tindall. And in this case, Tindall had a gun and he was fighting with someone else when a BART officer shot him in the back 3 times. Mm. No charges were brought against that officer.
Well, how about the officer Johannes Mesley, who shot Oscar Grant back then 10 years ago? What ended up happening with him? I think that he was sentenced to something.
That's right. So he resigned from the force right after the shooting, and then later he was charged with second-degree murder, but found guilty of only involuntary manslaughter. Basically, the jury agreed with his claim that he had meant to use his taser. So he got a 2-year sentence, although he was released only 11 months later because of credit for time already served while waiting for the verdict.
Mm-hmm.
That was a shorter sentence than Grant's family wanted, but still, it's very rare for an officer to get any kind of conviction for murder. There were also 2 other officers who were involved in the arrest who were fired by BART, although one of them was able to appeal the decision to court and get hired again. The other officer, the one who was not reinstated, had been heard shouting the N-word that night as he was making the arrests.
So how about for the family of Oscar Grant? Did they receive compensation for the death of Oscar Grant III?
Yes. So Oscar Grant's mother and daughter won multi-million dollar settlements from BART.
Hmm.
But Oscar Grant's father, who is incarcerated and who we just heard from in that last interview, he also sued for damages, and he was denied. According to the East Bay Times, the jury found that the relationship between him and his son wasn't close because he was incarcerated, and so he did not get anything.
Mm-hmm. So I know that BART is working on a mural for Oscar Grant at the Fruitvale station, and they've said, though, that they're not planning on renaming that station after Grant, which is what the family wants. Do you think that BART as an agency wants to remember this, commemorate it, or do they want to move on and go forward?
There are people at BART, especially on the board of directors, who want to remember Oscar Grant and who want his death to serve as a lesson that BART police have to be better. On the other hand, I'm sure BART as an agency does not want to be defined by that moment.
Mm-hmm.
But in some ways, you know, they can't move on. The Ryan Coogler movie about Oscar Grant is called Fruitvale Station. That station will always remind people of Oscar Grant, whether or not it's renamed after him. I know I think about Oscar Grant every time I'm at Fruitvale.
Yeah, they're pretty synonymous at this point. So outside of what it means for BART and for BART police, how has Oscar Grant's death impacted the world? This is 10 years ago, and of course, there have been so many deaths, officer-involved shootings, and Black Lives Matter movement. I mean, times
and videos. I mean, the movement that grew up after Oscar Grant's death had a huge impact because this was one of the first times that a cell phone video of police brutality went viral online. And of course, as you said, in the years since then, there have been so many videos of police violence against Black people, and these videos have sparked outrage and sometimes change. Some of the founders of the Black Lives Matter movement are from Oakland, and they will say that Oscar Grant was one of the things that galvanized them. His death was one of the outrages that inspired the Black Lives Matter movement before it was a movement with a name.
Well, thank you very much, Eli.
Thanks, Ben.
Eli Wirtschaffer covers transportation for KALW. You can reach him at transportation@kalw.org. Thank you. Tune into Cross Currents tomorrow at 5. We'll follow up on what happened to a unique homeless village in East Oakland.
This is an encampment that centers the needs of women and the leadership of women, which you don't see in any of the encampments.
That's tomorrow at 5 on Cross Currents from KALW News. The music we're listening to is Rochelle Scales from Oakland. She's playing at the Ivy Room Thursday night for a lineup of female pianists. The show starts at 7:30 p.m. Today's Cross Currents team includes Janae Darden, Joanne DeLuna, Sarah Nora Coast, Lisa Morehouse, Andrew Stelzer, Truk Nguyen, Jessica Placek, Marissa Ortega-Welch, and Aaliyah Yates. Our engineers are James Rollins, Tarek Foda, and Gabe Graben. Content manager is Kristen McCandless, with help from Shireen Attle. Our managing editor is David Boyer. Deputy news director is Angela Johnston. And our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet. For Cross Currents, I'm Ben Trefney.